The song before Benjamin brings us the lesson this morning will be number 594. Number 594, The Lily of the Valley. If you will, please stand as we sing this song. We'll sing all verses.
I have found a friend in Jesus, he's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs hath taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
The invitation song will be number 285, Zion's Call.
Good morning. If you'd like to go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, so we'll begin reading this morning, John chapter 4. You see their title on the screen called New Testament Worship. It's what we'll be talking about this morning. Probably about over a year ago, I preached a lesson very similar to it. It was also called New Testament Worship. So you see there on the screen, it's New Testament Worship 2. The first lesson we mostly just talked about, if anyone remembers, why we worship the way we do in certain ways, why we should have a certain attitude when we come to worship. In other words, when we get up in the morning, we don't think about the things that we did last night. In fact, we wake up with the rising sun thinking about how we've been blessed by God to be able to wake up one other day and how great of a blessing that is. And we put on our clothes, we get ready, we get our children ready to come to worship service, and our mind should be focused on what we're about to do coming to the meeting house. That's what we talked about. We didn't talk about too much about how come we sing, you know, congregational singing, a cappella singing, things like that. Why only certain people hold certain roles in the church. We didn't talk about too much of that, although that might be where your mind would have wandered when we're talking about New Testament worships and patterns. This morning, we kind of will be talking about that in a sort of roundabout way. I'm glad that Carson just led the song Lily of the Valley, because we will be focusing primarily on Jesus Christ, on how our worship is dedicated, not only dedicated, but so much better because of him. That's what we'll be talking about this morning. So in John chapter 4, we'll look at a few things. And like I said, we're not going to be focusing too much on necessarily our attitude, although we should not have a lackadaisical attitude. We should have a very earnest, very passionate attitude while we're here. Let's look at what Jesus had to say in John chapter 4. Look what it says there in John chapter 4. Begin reading with me, starting in verse 20. It reads, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem it is a place where one ought, it is the place where one ought to worship." So there's this Samaritan woman who finds Jesus. Actually, Jesus finds her. He goes to the well and he begins speaking with her, and this is what she says. "There's a mountain where you all say we should worship." And this is what Jesus says, verse 21. "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." What is Jesus talking about? A lot of times when we run across this passage, we talk about our inner man, when we talk about the spirit and how we ought to be devoted to him and the truth of God's word. And all those things are true. I'm not taking away from that. But this morning, I want to dive a little bit deeper into what Jesus might have been talking about when he means spirit and truth. And if you have ever, fellow brother or sister, have talked to someone about why we at Hueytown Church of Christ worship the way that we do, this is going to be an excellent lesson for you to relay some information to them. Why we worship by the New Testament pattern. And so the first thing that she mentions here, look at verse 20 one more time. She says, "Our fathers," this is the Samaritan woman, "our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem, is the place where one ought to worship." So the first thing she brings out to him, so it doesn't matter where we worship. You know, we say here, y'all say there. Does it really have a difference on where we worship? And to Jesus, he does bring out a little bit of that. Look what he says in verse 21 and 22. He says, "The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Although you worship what you do not know, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." He says, yeah, for a time there may have been a place to worship, especially if you were a Jew. You would have wanted to go to Jerusalem because that's what God wanted you to do. But he said there's going to be a time when it really doesn't matter here, there. What's going to be important is that we're worshiping God in spirit and truth, and we're going to get to that later. He says that's the focus of our worship now. That's what's going to be coming. So it's not necessarily where you're at in proximity, geographical location, none of that. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." So even in the Old Testament, here Jesus is talking about a worship that's going to be coming, some new sort of worship. But even in the Old Testament, you see how they were supposed to worship God with all sincerity. You look at the things that are said there, verse 5, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." To me, that seems like a worship that is fully involved. Although they may have lived in the Old Testament, practiced different things than we do, still seems pretty involved. So I don't think Jesus is talking about, well, we're going to start doing some new thing. There's going to be some new passion. No, that sincerity would have followed through the Old Testament to the New Testament. I don't think that's what he's talking about. And I'm not sure. Go with me to Matthew chapter 15. Now that we're there, Matthew chapter 15. Look at what he says here. Matthew chapter 15. Read with me what it says in verse 8 and 9. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of men the commandments." So even in the Old Testament, there was some divine truth. What I'm trying to say here, brethren, is that truth, spirit, being fully involved in worship, carried on. It was even there present in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. So I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to say. He's not trying to just say that there's going to be some new kind of worship for the sake of it, completely different. No, I think he was saying he's going to build on it. And let's look at what he's talking about further on. If you read with me one more time, look what it says there in John chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. Let's read through it one more time. It says, "The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and the Jews say in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. Pay attention, verse 23, one more time. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Focus how not once, but twice, Jesus is almost being redundant in what he wants out of worshipers in this transition period. He tells this woman, he gives her an insight to things that a lot of people probably didn't think about in that time. We have the privilege, we are lucky, we are blessed to see the Bible in its full picture. Jesus is showing her a little bit of what was to come. He says, this is how worship is going to be from now on. So what is truth? What is spirit? Let's talk about that. So if you're in John, let's go ahead and go to chapter 18, John chapter 18. See what it has to say there about what truth is. We're going to look at both of those verses there to sort of come to this conclusion. Look at what it says. In John chapter 18, here's a conversation of Jesus and Pilate. Jesus here is being tried, and we'll begin reading here in verse 37. But Jesus is on trial here, and Pilate asks him a very, I wouldn't say a funny question, but it's a little funny. He says in John chapter 18, verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, Are you the king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am the king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is truth hears my voice. Who is of the truth hears my voice. And so he says, verse 38, this is Pilate's response. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I have found no fault in him at all. So here, Pilate has this conversation with Jesus, and he asks him, Are you the king? And he says, Yeah, I'm the king. You rightly say so. This is why I was born, and I bring truth. Jesus says, I bring it. And Pilate asks a very good question. He said, What is truth? Let's answer that by going to John chapter 1. Go with me there. John chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 14. I want everyone to be there when it says in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is this talking about but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Verse 14. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Who brought truth? Who is truth? Who is truth manifested but Jesus Christ? So he asked, Pilate asked the question, well, you know, what is this truth that you're talking about? Jesus, he's talking about himself. He brought the truth. He is the truth. He is the Word personified. So this is what Jesus is talking about. There will come a time when the worshipers, true worshipers of God, will worship God in spirit and in truth. He's building upon the worship that was already given to them in the Old Testament, adding himself in there. And I want to talk about this morning, brethren, and I don't want to come across as dogmatic. I don't want to come across as mean-spirited at all. But just to show that the way the New Testament pattern shows how we should worship God is so much better and superior to the ways of the Old Testament. And that if anyone nowadays thinks that they ought to worship God by Old Testament standards, it is just inferior to the way that God now shows it. So he says, this is the worship that I am bringing. To show a really good illustration of this, let's go to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Begin reading with me there, if you'd like to. Verse 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. The book of Hebrews is an excellent book if you're trying to look for a contrast of Old and New Testament. Look what the writer has to say here in verse 9. Hebrews 9, 9. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifice are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. He says here, there was a time where people would offer sacrifices. They would give gifts to God, burn incense, things like that of the Old Testament. But they were not complete. They were not ideal. Look what it says, verse 9. And they are offered which cannot make him, talking about the one who is giving those offerings, perfect, who performed the service perfect in regard to conscience. Look what it says now, verse 10. Concerned only with food and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinance imposed until the time of Reformation. That time was given to where people could offer those things. They could offer sacrifices, and for a very small amount, they were given a close relationship with God, but it was not complete. It was not perfect. We're using the word perfect a lot. We're using the word complete, sincere. That's because the word truth in the New Testament oftentimes has those big connotations with it. And the worship of the Old Testament just wasn't enough. Have I ever told you what the meaning of sincere means? The word sincere comes from a Latin word, really two Latin words, sincera, which literally means without wax. In the olden days, you could go to some marketplace or something like that, and if you found like a little ornament or something you'd want to put around the house, you know, like a little vase or something, you would buy that. But a lot of times, because that was hard to make back in the days, if one was ever dropped or was broken, and the employer wanted to sell it again, they would get some wax, and they would wax together the pieces that were broken off, and they would put it on there, and they would sell it just like normal.